What's good, Flavor Fest family? We are back with another episode of the Leadership Podcast. I'm super excited today because we got a brother on here from Reach Records. Yeah, the label that has really kind of been the leader of our movement for well over a decade really now, and just putting out great music, great content, raising up a lot of leaders. And so we're going to get into it today, and I'm excited that this guy is actually going to be at Flavor Fest in Tampa this November. He's going to be doing a workshop for artists. So artists that are out there, yo, you definitely want to make your way to Tampa, Florida, and tap in with this guy that's going to be here. And listen, real quick, if you are not subscribed to the channel, subscribe to it, like it as well, and we're going to get this jumped off with my guy from Reach Records. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
Yeah, so we got my guy Dre Hunter.
Hey, how's it going, Tommy?
What's good, bro?
What's going on, brother? Thank you for having me.
Man, it's good to see you, bro. Good to have you. I got to connect with you in the ATL a couple of months ago at Flavor Fest Atlanta. Yeah. You did a fire workshop, dropping some gems for artists up there. And I was like, yo, you definitely got to come to the main Flavor Fest in Tampa. Right. We always have well over 100 artists, sometimes even 200 artists that are in the workshop track, and you were just sharing some great stuff. And you guys have continued to be on the cutting edge of things. Even now, like I said in the intro, like it's been over a decade, really, that Reach Records has kind of been like leading the movement. And the prior era before that for Christian hip hop, it was really kind of like the Cross movement was kind of like that top group, that standard. And you know, Lecrae was actually even on, you know, Cross Movement Records. Reach Records was like underneath of them, and then Reach ended up getting their own distribution deal as Cross Movement was kind of winding down, and the group itself actually retired. And so then Reach kind of just took that baton and took it to a whole nother level, man. So man, tell us a little bit about you, though, before we get into all the stuff with Reach, man. Tell us about you and what some of your experience has been like in the music industry.
Man, thank you so much. That breakdown was incredible. I feel like I need to go do some of my research. That was so detailed.
I've been around for a while, bro. I've been in this scene for a minute.
That's great. So, yeah, man, I started as a kid in the room. In my mom's room, trying to figure it out, and I ended up A&R for R&B group, but it wasn't traditional A&R. It was, you know, one of the guys from the group believed in me, and he gave me an opportunity to help put the project together, and I ended up doing that for about 4 years. We got as far as like Ebro in the Morning. And they were originally signed to Atlantic. They got dropped from Atlantic, and then we started working together. And that kind of gave me the skill sets that I needed once I transitioned over to Reach. So I did that for a couple years, and kind of figured out how to maneuver. After that, I was songwriting also, and then I landed a couple records. With Ruby Rose, it was a lot of mainstream artists I was working with at the time. And then Ace gave me a call one day and was just like, hey bro, I've been seeing how you've been moving, and you move more like an A&R than a creative. Would you like a job at Reach? And you know, I took it, I just leaped into it. I knew nothing about the corporate side of the music business. I was all creative at the time. But I just took that leap of faith. I felt like at that time I was kind of at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do next. And God kind of just opened that door up for me. And I walked through it. And it's been a blessing ever since. Now I've been at Reach for 2 years now. I worked on the first project I came in and worked on was the Don't Worry About It record with One Day and Portia Love. And then we went into the Summer Playlist. And then, you know, countless other records after that. The 1K Few projects with the co-project he did with Lecrae, No Church in the Wild, and then As I Am, and then Church Clothes 4, and so on and so on.
Man, in the last 2 years, bro, you've been busy.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot, man.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, I think sometimes maybe even people don't think about, like, but Reach puts out a lot of stuff. Y'all really put out a lot of content, I would say more than anybody else out there. And I think some of that's because of, you know, you guys have got to that level where you have the team and the resources and interns and everything and systems in place to be able to do that. But, you know, a lot of labels might only put out, like, one thing a quarter or, you know, just maybe, like, two projects a year or, you know, dropping a few singles here and there. But you guys have something like every time you go to the website, there's like new music that's constantly dropping and constantly coming out. And, you know, you mentioned the Summer Playlist. That's kind of become a staple, you know, the last couple of years, which I think has been dope because you guys always intentionally put a lot of features on there of people that are on Reach. But you give other artists an opportunity to kind of get seen, to get some shine. And then some of those artists then that were, you know, on some of those things that eventually might become a Reach record artist too.
Right.
So, like, I even think of, like, you know, Limo Blaze. You know, he was featured on a lot of different stuff on the playlist and with different people. And he was doing stuff with, you know, a lot of different people in CHH. So he was starting to buzz. And I think his sound is, like, really unique and it's dope. And it's just dope to see Reach even, like, you know, like, I've been following Reach since, like, 2005, 2006, you know, and it started out, you know, just some more history. So, you know, Lecrae kind of had more of that, like, Texas Southern hip-hop type of vibe, you know, Tedashi and Trip Lee, you know, Jesus music came out.
Yep, classic.
Had this new sound that Christian hip-hop really, you know, I mean, there was a Grape Tree Records that really kind of had, like, that Master P New Orleans type of vibe sound to it. Even their artwork looked just like Grape Tree Records. It looked just like No Limit stuff at the time. But this was kind of like the kind of that Texas sound that era that around 2005 that in Christian hip hop it wasn't really being represented in excellence either. And so when that came out, I remember everybody was like, "Yo, what is that?" And that was at a time when Southern hip-hop was really starting to be on a rise. And so going back to the Cross Movement was like a Philadelphia-based group. They were East Coast. You know, they were East Coast. Yeah. They were like a Christian Wu-Tang, you know, lyrical. Yeah. And so, and that style, although it was dope and it had its place in the mainstream, you know, with youth at the time, that style was starting to fade as this other style was rising. And so that the beginning sound of Reach really with those three artists kind of just had that sound, but then you know, as time went on, that began to change. Of course, they signed KB, then they signed Minio, which Andy was from New York, and being a white guy, Italian guy,
right,
New York lyrical vibe. That was a kind of a different, like, okay, we're gonna do different stuff. But now even seeing, like, you know, you guys got Hovi, guys got Limo Blaze, you know, these different sounds, and obviously, you know, you guys signing some female artists as well, which has been, you know, really dope. And so, yeah, man. So, what do you see, like, as even some of the future stuff of what Reach is going to be doing? Are you guys thinking about continuing? Because I'll just say this before you answer. It seems like urban music, rhythmic music, is becoming more and more of a fusion where you see so many styles together, even on one song. It's not as separate as it was 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
You can have R&B in a track and hip hop in a track and some Spanish music in a track.
Right.
Like some Afrobeat and some pop vibe. And, like, you have all this kind of coming together. And so it's not like, whereas back in the day, I think people would have been like, "Oh, they're selling out." Now they're doing,
right.
Now it's just like kind of naturally the music is all blending.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think expansion is key. I think now we're kind of ready and looking around for, you know, different things to do. Just want to expand the culture as well. I'm big on also, like, you know, highlighting other genres in Christian genre, so that we can incubate those talents out there, because there's a lot of people that's talented in different ways, you know, in Latin music, Afrobeat, trap music. And it's just sometimes you have to have the guys who are able to have the machine is able to help incubate the whole entire culture. So I feel like it's our duty to help expand, you know what I mean? Help expand on the Christian genre and music. So yeah, we're definitely, like, you know, looking around and seeing other things, and, you know, where else can we go as a company? How far can we reach? You know, so yeah, we definitely got some dope things and coming up that'll be, I think the culture is gonna love it. You know what I mean?
That's dope, man. Yeah. Yeah, and I on the kind of piggybacking off of the thing I was talking about fusion, even like, so I've just been noticing, what do you think about, like, this seems to be more of a trend of a lot of rappers are now like becoming singers, or there's more singing in their songs than there is rap anymore.
You know? Right, it's getting to the point where we can't distinguish what's R&B anymore. Like, it's a couple times where I've heard, like, you know, I don't want to say a name, but, like, certain artists who are obviously rappers, like, people, I ask somebody, like, what do you think about their music? What would you call this? And it's like, oh, that's R&B music. And it's like, it's now it's kind of like we have to, I'm more of the type, like, let's just go with the flow. If this is what it is, then how do we come in and add our touch on it? You know what I mean? So I'm embracing it. Like, I love everything that's going on. Like, I love the, I especially love melodic, the melodic, the Christian R&B genre that's happening right now. And, like, the explosion. Shout out Stevie Rizzo. And then you have, it's an artist named Steady that's really dope, that I listen to a lot. But yeah, I love the multiple genres that's happening. I love the Latin fusion. Shout out Alexander. That's a dope artist as well in the Latin culture. But yeah, it's so much that's going on, man. Like, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I even think of, you know, your artist Hovie, which Hovie, like, you know, some of his most popular songs, like even the altar song, like, it's kind of like a worship song.
Right.
I mean, there is part of it where he actually raps in it, but it's like straight up, like, you see, like, he has lots of reels that went viral. You know, it's that section of the song usually where he's with, you know, the other dude singing, what's his name,
Forrest Frank, yep.
Yeah, and I never even heard of that guy. I heard him through Hovie, but then I checked out his IG, and I'm like, oh, that guy's popping. Now he's, you know, doing stuff with a lot of other people. He was already doing stuff before the Hovie thing, obviously. But it's cool how, you know, we see even people are doing songs with other people, and genres are blending, and... Yeah, there's a group that I even, like, kind of got into in the last year or so called King's Kaleidoscope. I don't know if
you Yeah, those guys are dope, I was in a session one day, and a guy just came to me like, you ever heard of King's Kaleidoscope? I'm like, nah, I never heard of them. But then I seen what they were doing. I'm like, oh, they tearing it up right now, man. So
yeah, bro, it's like a live band, but it's very rhythmic, soulful. Mm-hmm. They've had some features of some different Christian hip-hop artists that have done some stuff with them. Some of their stuff, they use samples, and it's just different. It's like a fusion of, like, can't even put it in, like, a box. And they actually performed that at Smokefest.
How are they live? What's their live show look like?
Oh, live is crazy. Yeah. I haven't seen it in person. I'm trying to go because they are coming to Tampa this weekend, but I went to get a ticket the other night. And it's sold out. It's at a small spot down in Ybor City in the club district. And I think the venue might only fit like 300 people, but it's sold out. But I do have a connect. I have a guy that is friends with the lead singer, and so he's trying to get a couple VIP passes. Yeah. So I might be able to show up. Yeah. But I watched some of their live stuff on YouTube. Yeah. It's super dope. They got like two drummers. They got a horn, couple guys playing horns.
Wow,
You know, it's just a lot of energy on the stage. Yeah. But again, very rhythmic. That's what pulls me in. You know, I'm I'm a hip-hop kid. I'm rhythmic. I play drums and stuff. So if it doesn't have, like, a dope rhythm or beat to it, I might not vibe with it as much. But So you see a lot of rhythmic music is kind of blending all together. Even, like, you think of, you know, KB's song, Danza, Dance. Mm-hmm. You know, taking that remix of I Would Dance Like David Dance from, you know, Hezekiah, and then just, man, putting that whole spin on it with, like, a reggaeton beat. You know,
right,
and to see those things all being fused together, and it's dope, man. It's dope to watch.
It's amazing what's going on now. I feel like this these artists are more fearless, I say, as far as even when it comes to who they collaborate with, you know. I feel like they're more collaborative, and they're even more fearless now how they explore
their musical spaces.
Yeah, but I feel like it needs to be that way for growth, you know what I mean? And so I embrace it fully. I know whenever we're working on the summer playlist, my thought is, what's the most shocking collaboration we can put together? Like, what two worlds can we put together? One of those things were
Limo some of your Blaze, favorites?
Limo Blaze and Angie Rose. So we did a record with them two, and when we were coming up with it, I was like, Limo, I want you to go full. It's correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's Naraba, which is the African language. And I was like, I want you to forgive me if I'm wrong. When I'm coming in, it's like, you got that wrong, buddy. I was like, I want you to go out. I don't even want the fans to understand what you're saying. And then with Angie, I said, I want you to go full Spanish on the record just collapse.
Angie's super diverse because she can do Spanish, English. She can rap like crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she's a fusion herself.
and that's the beauty of it. And we even got Scooty Wap on that record, and he did the hook in English. So it was like, now we have three different languages on this one record.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And the record is still doing good. So it's just, I love just shocking the fans and figuring out ways. How can we get, you know, somebody that's a legend in there, a Derek Minor with a Hovey, you know what I'm saying? Something that, you know, people are, I feel like when I'm creating, it's always about moments. Like, how do I create a moment for the fans and not just let's make a song and put it out? No, how do we make a moment that people can live with forever? Because I know when I was coming up, some of my favorite music was from, like, moments that I could remember, you know what I mean? When certain albums drop, I remember seeing the visual of that moment more than even listening to the album, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's important for fans to have that same experience.
That's dope, man. So what would you say to some artists out there that are tuning in right now and they're like, yo, this is the A&R from Reach Records.
Yeah.
And like, what should I do as an indie artist? Like, what's the most important thing that somebody like you in your shoes would be looking at so I could get noticed?
Content. So good quality content. If you put out your music on DSPs and then flood the timeline with great content, go get a camera, go get a professional camera and shoot your content with that camera. And that's simply it. And then just flood the timelines and don't stop and don't quit and continue to release. I always say make a main plan, create your main plan. Anything that happens after that is side missions, right? If you end up getting a show, if somebody asks you to come to Paris to come record with them, that's still your side mission. Come up with how many records you're going to release this year, and that's your main goal. Get those records out to the end of the year, no matter what happens, and create content around those records. And I'll find you on social medias if you start doing well. And that's literally every artist that you've seen at a Reach camp or you've seen on a project has been found off of social media by doing content. So if you don't put your content out there, you're not able to be discovered.
That's good, man. Yeah, because I think a lot of artists just felt like, man, let me get in the studio, let me drop a hot song, put it out, and then see what happens.
Right. They sit back.
You're going to see not much happen.
Nothing happen.
On social media. You got to be putting out content, talking about it, being creative. You know, you even look at somebody like a Hovi who has done multiple reels of this same like track, but you know, different video visuals for it, and it continues to do well and keeps climbing. You know, even recently was looking at Ruslan's timeline and noticed, you know, because Ruslan, he's more known for being a YouTuber now. He still does dope music, and he recently put out this one, almost like a song slash. It kind of almost reminded me of spoken word type of vibe, and he put out multiple reels of him doing that same, you know, actual piece, but in different locations, different outfits, if you look through his timeline, it was just peppered with that.
Right.
Hitting different people. Because the reality is, you know, with social media, when you put one post up, like the algorithm's only going to let a certain amount of people see it. A certain amount of your followers even see it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you look at the insights, then there's also a certain amount of people that are not your followers that are seeing it. So, you know, if you put out, oh, I don't want to put that, I already put that song out. You should put out different versions of it multiple times.
Right.
And I would say, so that's really good. And I would say, too, like, you know, find ways to engage the fans, get people to engage and comment. Me personally, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm an artist, too, but I'm not doing music as much as I was, but I'm always trying to find ways to just, you know, encourage people as a pastor and engage people. And so I started doing these prayers on my Instagram the last couple of months, and my engagement has just went crazy.
Wow.
Like, you know, I have a reel that just hit 500,000 views like yesterday.
Right. And, oh, wow. You know, congrats on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Like 26,000 comments
on
that one reel. And a lot of people are just saying amen or putting a prayer hands emoji, putting a prayer request. But, you know, if you can find ways to get people to engage with whatever your content is, it pushes you up on the algorithm. And then obviously, you know, whatever platform it is, whether it's IG or TikTok or YouTube, you know, those platforms love it when people are commenting and they're liking, and it pushes it up even more because they're like, oh, this is a piece of content that people are enjoying. They're going to stay on our platform longer. And that's just the whole way that it works. But as artists and content creators, you can use that to your advantage to say, man, how can I, you know, get this exposed to more and more people? Because the more and more people that engage with it, the more that the algorithm's going to push it to people that are not following you. And then your followers, you know, continue to grow. And then people like Dre are going to notice you. They're going to be like, who is this person?
Look at all this engagement. And I can add a tip that I read an article was talking about how Spotify works. And every 28 days, Spotify repopulates its monthly listeners. So a strategy that new artists could use to start growing their numbers is every 28 days, release some type of music. Like, you have to play into the algorithm. Back in the day, it was radio. Before that, it was live shows. Back in, like, the Motown days, you had to go and you had to do live shows to get in front of people.
Do the circuit.
Exactly. So now the circuit is social media. So we have to just, you know, adapt with the times. So the thing is, so monthly listeners every 28 days. So a great strategy, and this is just a theory that I had, and I was like, this might be dope. But every 28 days, maybe release something on your Spotify or your DSP. So it's say you release a song and then release the instrumental or release a sped up version just to continue to feed the algorithm so that it keeps going up while you're working on your other projects or anything. Like, the thing I think now is important is not going ghost. Don't go ghost on social media. Don't go ghost on DSPs. It's just continue to release and find ways to release. So if you're a bilingual artist, say, make an English version and a Spanish version of your record. Mm-hmm. And every 28 days, release the English version and then the Spanish version, and then move on to the next record. Another thing is, so the way that the monthly listeners work is, you retain, so your streams go up based off of the amount of monthly listeners you have, but your monthly listeners go up based off of a new audience. So every time you get in front of a new audience, you receive monthly listeners. So the key is finding ways to get in front of a new audience. So that may be getting a collaboration, collaborating with an artist you never collaborated with. Maybe, you know, you collaborate with King's Kaleidoscope. You know, now you're in front of their audience. So that'll help raise your monthly listeners. Maybe getting on, you know, the Urban Leadership Podcast and doing an interview. That'll put you in front of new people. So it's things like that that you got to kind of strategize your career. You know, you can't, you know, just doing it on accident and just kind of letting it flow. Like, you have to use God's wisdom to also strategize and get into and use strategies to take your career into where you want it to go. You know what I mean? So
that's good, man.
Yeah, that's just some key things I've been thinking about this year.
No, that's some real good stuff. I know you guys at Reach are definitely doing that. You're putting stuff out every 28 hours. You guys are dropping new stuff. But man, I think one thing I caught that you said that I think is important for artists too is you said drop the instrumental. People like to listen to instrumentals sometimes, number one. But number two, those instrumentals then can pop up when people are looking to put music to a reel or a short or a TikTok.
Right.
And if your music starts getting chosen a lot, it can move up on those algorithms and charts. And then you got a whole bunch of new people that are discovering you because they're watching somebody else's content, but your music is in the background.
And exactly.
Yeah, I know even over the years, some of my music, I released it to licensing companies even like years ago, and lots of people would discover me and my music through, you know, it being on a YouTube video. I was with this, it was called Rumblefish. It was the first licensing thing that YouTube had back around 2009, 2010. And like, you weren't allowed to put music on YouTube unless you used this catalog that they had. It had about 30,000 songs in it, but I was actually in that as one of the first people. And man, I was on like over 20,000 YouTube videos at the time. And some of them were just, you know, with 6 views, but some of them had like over 1 million views. And people were then tapping into all my other stuff and my videos. And it was really cool. And it was a nice check that I got every quarter.
That never hurts.
Three or four years there, it was like I could expect that, you know, about $1,000 or so every quarter.
That never hurts.
It was nice. So artists, there's lots of other opportunities out there with Sync. And so talk about that really quick, because you guys do really well with
your
music on different things. What
for that? Definitely. So I'm not really I don't have a lot of knowledge on the Sync world. We have a Sync department. His name is Logan.
Y'all got a whole other department for that.
So, you know, so Logan kind of handles it. And from, you know, just from conversations with him, you know, I feel like Sync is reaching out to the right people, reaching out to those Sync the word is leaving me, but just
curators,
reaching out,
the Sync curators.
Sync curators, there we go. And I think sometimes I think with me and my experience of connecting with people, I would say it's more simple than you think. Sometimes it's a LinkedIn, maybe going to LinkedIn and finding these people, and sometimes it's a DM, you know, but just looking for the right people. I know for me, I've done well in the Sync world, both at reach and both outside with the music I've done through a friendship. I have a friendship with she's a music director at Zeus Network, and she's been doing a lot. We've been knowing each other for years, and you know, I see that, you know, with her, it's kind of like, hey Dre, you're a great talent. I just love working with you. You do easy business, and you know, she just sends me opportunities. So I was just blessed with, you know, a great network. And so I mean, to give advice to people is networking and find those people that's in that field, in the movie field. I don't know much about it, but I know that networking can take you far. So that's how I land a lot of my scenes, through that, you know.
Yeah. Personal relationships, networking, yeah. Man, it's so key. And so speaking of that, like, you are going to be in the flesh, in person, not virtually like this, but you're going to be there in the flesh, in the building at Flavor Fest in Tampa coming up November the 2nd through the 4th, and you're going to be doing one of the workshops in the artist track. So just give people, like, just maybe the 30,000 overfoot view. What are you going to be talking about in that workshop?
So 0 to 50, how to start your career as an artist is what I'm going to be talking about, and basically just give you a breakdown, step-by-step plan on an executable plan on how to start your career as an artist. So this is going to be for those guys who, you know, you may be an overthinker, you may, you know, not know what to do next, or, you know, so things like that. I want to kind of help and give gems and doable actions after the class. I want you to be able to leave the class and go do it immediately. You know, or do it while you're in the class, or however you feel. So that's the goal plan. I'm still putting it together. I'm still working out kinks. There's some things, resources I want to give, as far as like websites. It's websites to get on the radio in UK, Holy Culture Radio, signing up for that, reaching out for interviews, reaching out for podcast interviews, collaborating with other artists, what they do for you. So it'll be a pretty good breakdown. Hopefully, you know, one or two people in there could walk away and I see them, you know, doing amazing things in the future. That's the goal.
Oh, that's good, man. So we excited to have you. So artists out there, you don't want to miss it. We got a fire lineup of speakers that are going to be in the artist track at Flavor Fest this year. So Dre, how can everybody find you, man? What's the easiest way to tap in with you, to send you a DM on LinkedIn?
I mean, I'll make it easier. So you can send me a DM on Instagram at Dre, that's you. Just Dre, that's you on Instagram. Everything spelled regular.
All right, dope. And what's last question, man? What's the most exciting thing you're working on right now?
Right now, so we're doing the 1K Few project. He did a whole project with Zaytoven, a legend in the in the trap world. So we got a whole project with Zaytoven. I'm super excited to get it out there in the world, and I think the rollout is going to be incredible also. So
is that the God Loves Atlanta?
Pray for Atlanta.
Pray for Atlanta. That's
I've seen some of the we might have to switch the title though. I like that title.
that's good, man. We love 1K. 1K Few came with us to New York City when we did Flavor Fest for the first time this year. When we came to Atlanta, he was there as well. So he's been here to Tampa to Flavor Fest many times over there. He was here last year
in 2022.
So we got a lot of love for 1K.
Show love. I gotta let you hit the records, man. When I come out there.
Okay. All right, man. Look forward to. When is that supposed to be dropping?
So we're looking at dates next year. We're not quite sure yet, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to put them in that calendar. Singles coming soon. Doing the every 28 hours.
Every 28 day. Every 28 minutes.
That's good, man. Yeah. Well, hey, bro, we're super looking forward to having you, man, at Flavor Fest this year. I know it's going to be your first time to come down. It's like a big family reunion. We got people that come from all over the country that are doing ministry in the urban context, whether they're pastors, artists, youth pastors, church leaders. Some people run nonprofits. It's just some people are entrepreneurs. And really, like, all of us in this space, we're entrepreneurial anyways. We got that
kind
of flowing through our veins to do what we do. But, yeah, man, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a big big family reunion, big party.
Yeah, so, I love it, man. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me out, too. I really appreciate that.
Definitely, man. Well, hey, I always ask people to do this. I'm going to put you on the spot, man. If you could just say, like, a quick prayer. I'm going to ask you to specifically pray for the artist that might be watching this, and just that God will guide them through their career, man. So just go ahead and close this out real quick.
Let's do it. Lord, right now, I just ask you to come into this space, Lord, and just bless these artists with clarity, Lord. Bless these artists with prosperity, Lord. Continue to give them grace and favor through their walk with you, Lord. Just open their eyes. Let them understand that it's all about loving you and loving your neighbors, Lord. That you're opening all these doors for us. In your almighty name, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all make some noise for my guy, Dre Hunter. Trying to get my sound effects together, man. I don't know they're not working, bro. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. So, anyways, man, yo, it was great having you on here today. Yes, Flavor Fest family. Tap in at flavorfest.org. That's where you can get the details to get your conference registration, your concert tickets if you're just coming to the concert. But, man, I tell you, come to the whole thing. Come to the conference because the concert tickets are included. Lunch is included. You can break bread, fellowship with some people. We got such an amazing weekend planned. So flavorfest.org has all the details. We got everything up there, workshop titles, times, who's performing what night of the concert. We got the Rapzilla beat battle, Rapzilla 16-bar challenge on Friday, and the Trackstar beat battle on Saturday. We're doing a big Love Our City outreach on Saturday afternoon. We're doing a fashion show Thursday night on the opening session. We have a mural festival happening throughout the weekend with about a dozen of some of the dopest mural artists on the planet that are flying in from all over. They're going to do like a 250-foot wall on the west side of our building. So there's going to be a big collaboration of art and Jesus and family. It's going to be a great weekend. So tap in. Well, family, until next week, yo, we'll see you. God bless.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.